right, take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel. Chapter 9. We've been, of course, working our way through this chapter, but particularly we've come to verses 5 and 6 and trying to work through them. Presently, last week we started with verse 6 and concerning directions, concerning those that were marked. They were given directions, and they were given directions not to go near, even near those that were marked. I'm trying to find my right page here. Here we go. Tonight, as we continue to look at verse 6, we want to look at some further instructions given, and that is that they were to begin at the holy place. Let's read verse 6. The instructions say, "Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark." And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Begin at my sanctuary. Begin at my holy place. This is my sacred place. It's my holy place. You're to begin there. Begin there with what? Begin there with my judgment. Begin there with my reckoning. Seems like a strange place to begin, doesn't it? But they had desecrated the holy place. They had desecrated it by not obeying God and His commands. They had desecrated it by being so brazen as to take their idolatry right into His sanctuary and offer offerings to their idols on that which God had had them create, make, which was holy. The altar of burnt offering. It was for offering sacrifices that were to be burnt to Him. Again, we think of what He told Israel in the beginning days of Mount Sinai. "I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one that has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God." But they had desecrated it just to prod our memory a little bit. Turn back to chapter 7. And look at verse 20. "As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the image of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I said it, far from them. I mean, the temple. Before the temple, the tabernacle, it was a place of beauty. As you come to the court, and the brazen laver and the altar, burnt offering, and the showbread and the candlestick, and then the mercy seat with the cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant. It was a place of beauty. And the temple stood in its likeness. And you remember, we said the church stands in its likeness today. The church, the body of Christ, of which He's the head. I've never seen a headless body. Now, sad to say, the wickedness of man, law enforcement officers have seen headless bodies. But they know where there's a body, there's a head somewhere to go with it. The body of Christ has Christ as its head. And we're to shine forth as an ornament of beauty. Shine forth the glory of Christ, the glory of God. Chapter 8, not as long ago as chapter 7. Chapter 8, and verses 5 and 6. He said, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eye." He says, "Now, the way toward the north." So I lifted up mine eyes, the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. Right there. He said, "Furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations." More great abominations, if you recall, is what we said. Look at verse 16. He said, "And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east." Those which God wondrously made, created above all of His creation, they were worshiping that which God had created, which anything we would set our eyes upon to worship, it was not God. He's created it.
Amen.
Women worshiping Tammuz. Recall the story behind that. It began with the ancients. Why do you suppose it began with the ancients? Well, because of what we read in chapter 8, verse 16. These 25 were representative of the elders of the ancients. The ones that sat over
the tribes were instrumental in leading them. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. They were the ancients, with their backs toward the temple. They had their back turned on the house of the Lord. And they were worshiping the sun. That which God had created and set there, yes, as an image and in so many ways is representative of Jesus Christ, the Son, S-O-N, the light of the world. You see, this judgment didn't begin with the nations. Didn't begin with Egypt. The land from which they came out of. The land from which they may have learned all these things. Didn't begin with the nations around them who were idolatrous. It didn't come from... He didn't begin judgment upon those that Israel failed to drive out, utterly out of the land, utterly destroy, and picked up their pagan practices. He began with the house of Israel, at the house of the Lord, at His sanctuary. Representative of ancients, representative of His priests. Why? Because he holds his to a higher standard.
Yes.
They were his special people. Turn with me to the book of Amos. You see, judgment must begin at the house of God. The book of Amos in chapter 3. Begin reading here with verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Why? Because they were His. He only had known them. He only had loved them. He only had set His love upon them and chosen them to be His. To set His name there. To show forth His honor and His glory to the rest of the world.
Sad, isn't it? Sad. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 2. Verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew first. And also of the Gentile. Why of the Jew first? We just read it in Amos. Because they were the people the Lord knew. They were the people He set His love on. They were the people that He chose to be His and set His name there to be honored and glorified and magnified. So the Jew first and then to the Gentile. What about you and I? Mm.
He only has known us. He only has loved us and chosen us. And set His love upon us. To be light shining bright in this world. Turn with me to the book of Romans while we're there. Chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles. How is he speaking to save Gentiles? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the Gentiles, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, which are holy, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, we were grafted in.
Amen.
We're partaking of the same root that they partook of, which the root is holy. So even the wild olive tree that was grafted in has become holy.
Amen.
Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee.
Yeah.
We have no call to boast. It's the root that bears us. It's the root that makes us holy. Thou wilt save them. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Notice why we should fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, which are holy, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Goodness to the Gentiles which are saved, and severity to the Jew which failed to believe. Exercised belief. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Do you understand what we just read? He's not talking about you being cut off to utter perdition. But you can be excommunicated, if you allow me to use that word. Not only can members be excommunicated, churches can be cut off. Whole churches. Read the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. He'll snuff out the candlestick if they don't repent. He'll do the same to us today. Why? Because we're held to a higher standard. We've been redeemed. We've been brought. We've had His law manifested to us. We ought to show forth the glory of God, praising Him. Not just with doing lip service on Sundays and on Wednesday nights, but honoring Him with our life.
Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must, not might, must. Why? Why must it? Why must judgment first begin at us? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? You see, there are some that are members of His church that are going to